It's time to get answers to all of your real estate questions. Talk 1260 KTRC presents All Things Real Estate, New Mexico's foremost live, listener-interactive real estate radio show. The phone lines are open, so call us at 505-473-5722 or email us your questions at rpost@sfrp.com. Now, here's your host, Ray Post.
Good afternoon and welcome to All Things Real Estate. I'm Ray Post with Santa Fe Realty Partners and stand ready to help meet all of your real estate objectives. In a few minutes, I'll be introducing my in-studio guest, but first want to tell you about some excellent companies who can help solve renovation, repair, and design issues around your own home. Just go to our website, www.santafe.realtypartners.com. Click on the radio show icon and go right to the list of real estate resource companies. I encourage you to give them a call if you need some help at the place you call home. I also want to remind you about the exclusive free service our firm is offering to everyone in Santa Fe. Now, why don't you just go grab a pen and a piece of paper so you can jot down a phone number I'm going to give to you in a minute. At any time, day or night, you can now call one phone number and get information on any property for sale in the Santa Fe Multiple List System. Just dial 505-204-7427. Enter the address of the home you like, or if there's one of our firm's for sale signs at the property, there will be a short code number you can enter. Now, once you've entered this information, a very pleasant woman's voice will tell you everything about the property you're interested in. So from any phone, you can now check out properties whenever you wish. Remember to dial 505-204-7427 and let your phone give you information on any property for sale in the Santa Fe Multiple List System. I also want to invite you to join me next Sunday at noon for a live remote broadcast of All Things Real Estate that I'll be doing from the Santa Fe Convention Center. I'll be at the Green Building Expo, which is free and open to anyone, so come on down to the Convention Center for the show next Sunday at noon. I'd love to meet you, and I might even put you on the air. And in a moment, I'm going to ask my special guest to talk about his role at the Green Building Convention and Expo as well. As always, we have a lot going on with the show today, so please sit back and enjoy All Things Real Estate here on Talk 1260 KTRC. You can also email me, Ray Post, your questions and comments by sending your message to rpost@sfrp.com. As always, we like to begin each show with the State of the Market commentary from Andrew Hoffman, advisor to All Things Real Estate. Okay, Andrew, what do you have for the listeners today?
Well, Ray, I thought we'd sort of look at what the Obama administration has done post-meltdown to help the consumer. The administration has signaled very strongly that they're going to try to institute consumer protections going forward so that we don't have the type of foreclosures and bad debts that we've seen so far. In my book, it's sort of like a spaghetti western. There's the good, the bad, and the ugly. The good probably is coming in the future. It's coming in January. It's called Regulation X. And it requires that the good faith estimate that we as mortgage loan originators provide to our clients be very accurate. It's an important document. I always use the good faith estimate as a starting point and as comparison between one lender and another. What they're going to do is they're going to standardize the lines between the good faith estimate and the settlement statement at closing to make sure that you can compare what you've been given as an estimate and what actually happened. And we're not absolutely sure how it's going to be executed. We've seen some preliminary notices of it, but it will make sure that there's full disclosure, that there's no hidden costs, and that the client is, or the consumer, is protected as much as possible. The bad we've seen so far is called MDIA, the Mortgage Disclosure Information Act. It uses APR, annual percentage rate, as a way to determine whether the loan is right and whether it changes from when it's begun and when it closes. The problem with APR that I've even talked about before is that it assumes that you keep the loan for 30 years, and that's not usually the case. The problem with MBIA is that you have to disclose on day one, and you can't order an appraisal or anything other than a credit report until day four, and that if the APR changes by more than an eighth of a percent, there has to be redisclosure, and if it is towards the end of the process, it could take up to 7 days to get the loan closed and properly disclosed. It has good intention, but I think the first option is a better way of looking at this. Mm-hmm. Now, the ugly is the Home Valuation Code of Conduct, what we call HVCC. HVCC does not come from the federal administration. It's the result of a lawsuit between New York State and Fannie Mae. It creates an absolute firewall between the lender and the appraiser. The result of it is the creation of a new company called an appraisal management company, which stands between these parties. And the problem is that it is benefiting those appraisers who are marginal and are willing to work for less, and it causes delay and causes bad appraisal. And on top of everything else, even the bad appraisal can't be transferred from one lender to another. And there is a bill in Congress right now to try to table HVCC, but at the same time, FHA, which was not included in part of HVCC, has decided to take up its precepts. So I don't know what's going to happen with it, but it's not good, and it doesn't help any of us.
Well, Andrew,
there are some more changes to come in 2010 that we don't know about.
Yeah, and you used the old Clint Eastwood line, good, bad, and ugly, and you're right. There are some things that are very good for consumers. There are some things that are challenging for you in the lending industry, and there may actually be some things that need to be amended by Congress, so we'll see what happens. But as always, great information for the listeners. I appreciate you chatting with us today. We'll talk to you next Sunday.
Thanks, Ray. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. And that was a lot of information. Anyway, thank you, Andrew Hoffman, as always, for offering that to us. My guest today is someone who's making, I don't know, is this their third or fourth visit back to the show? Third or fourth, whatever it is.
Glad to be back.
Yeah, it's Steve Riemann, who is the Santa Fe Area Manager for Fidelity National Title. Among many things, Steve is this coming weekend going to be serving as the overseer for all of the continuing ed courses that are going to be given at the Green Building Summit and Expo, which is open. The Expo is open to the public. The Summit's open to people in the trade, appraisers, brokers, lenders, and the like. So welcome to the show, Steve. Nice to have you back.
Thanks, Ray. It's a privilege to be here.
Uh-oh, we got a bad mic over here. Gino Thompson, the producer. Now try again.
Let's try and see that.
There you go.
That's
okay,
that's
you're with us now.
Thanks.
Excellent.
Thanks.
We told him to bring the mic right up next to his face, and it was too close. Anyway, you want to talk anything about the Green Building Expo for a second?
I'm pleased to, Ray. Yeah. I think it's a wonderful opportunity for real estate professionals to join together to see where the future goes with all of the green activity we have. It's a rare opportunity to bring real estate professionals, title people, lenders, appraisers, all into the same discussion and really evaluate how our roles will work together to create the new future with many of the green aspects to the new new construction industries, etc. I have a company called Partners Education Company. We will be the CE sponsor for the entire event. I'm grateful to be one of the instructors for part of the time. We're bringing in national speakers and would encourage all the real estate professionals to be a part of the summit. Really want to encourage the consumers to come out for the expo and learn about all the various green trades and how they can add value to your home and help you economize your costs and heating costs, etc. This is a wave, irrespective of your political motivation for it, this is a wave that is unstoppable in the housing industry. And the more we are all educated about it, the better we're going to be. I think it's going to be great fun this weekend.
Absolutely. So we actually just, so we have a message that's going out here on Thursday and Friday. It's really for the trade, people that are brokers, appraisers, lenders, and the like. And Steve and his company, again, are overseeing all of the continuing ed courses that are going out to professionals. So we encourage anyone, and there are a lot of brokers who listen to the show, by the way, so you can get some fabulous CE credits, anyone that's out there. Just go on to the Home Builders website, and that will give you all the information. You can sign up for the class and maybe even have Professor Riemann as one of your instructors if you're lucky. And then on Saturday and Sunday, it's open to the public. And what Steve's talking about is we really encourage everyone out there, because not only is it a wave that's reality, but it's also law that there need be changes in the building code for buildings, and they become more green. So you as a consumer need to understand this, because it has great implications on you, whether you're thinking about buying or building a house, or you have a house that you may have for resale. And we'll talk about that a little bit more on a different show. But anyway, next Sunday, and I'll be doing my show live from the convention center, so I encourage you to come down. We'd love to see you at that point. Anyway, we're going to talk about something else that sort of dovetails with what Andrew Hoffman was speaking to. Steve and I are going to be discussing the changes that are going to be occurring in January of 2010 that will impact all consumers. It's some information associated with the settlement process, how you deal with your lender, and it's actually related to the Real Estate Settlement Procedures Act, which is called RESPA. So if you hear the word RESPA, this is actually an act that's been around since 1974, but it's been amended significantly. And the new amendments will take effect in January. So, Steve, from your standpoint, RESPA is a good thing, but what does it mean to a consumer?
Well, it's all about consumer protection and consumer information, consumer disclosure, and consumer assurances that the information that they are given during the loan process, during the home buying process, even refinance process for that matter, is accurate, is stable, and is predictable. Too many people get into transactions where it just doesn't turn out the way that it was intended to or the way it started to. And there's a fair amount of suspicion and that sort of stuff that grows in our industry that RESPA's working hard to try and minimize and try and make the whole process more predictable, more open and transparent, to where consumers know in the end that what they talked about in the beginning is what they actually got.
Absolutely.
And there was no bait and switch or...
Mm-hmm. Kickbacks or anything like that.
Yeah,
right.
And it's all about disclosure to help consumers know what's
transparency
going on.
Is important. I'll tell you what, Gino Townsend, my producer, let's take a break here on All Things Real Estate. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Steve Riemann, Santa Fe Area Manager from Fidelity National Title. Please. Welcome back to All Things Real Estate. This is Ray Post with Santa Fe Realty Partners. Before we go back into our conversation with Steve Riemann from Fidelity National Title, I want to ask you, if you're thinking about building a new home or updating the one that you're in, converting your garage into a living space, or building a guest house, you know, choosing a contractor is an important decision, and that's why I recommend Major Development Incorporated, a premier developer and builder in Santa Fe with over 15 years of experience. Jeff and Dina Major work with you to ensure a quality and efficient building process that will enhance your home and reflect your style. Now is an excellent time to start your project with Major Development and enjoy 15% off their standard rates. Please call Major Development today at 505-470-0019 for your free consultation, or visit them online at www.majordevelopment.net to learn about all of their custom home building services. Today we're talking about RESPA, and again, that's the Real Estate Settlement Procedures Act, which is amended from 1974 when it was originally passed by Congress, signed into law. I have Steve Riemann, the Santa Fe Area Manager with Fidelity National Title, with me. We define what RESPA is about. Essentially, it's for you, the consumer, to protect you, transparency, and the like throughout the real estate transaction. The changes that are occurring, though, Steve, as of January, they're deep, they're significant. They're troubling to some people. But what does it mean to the consumer?
Well, they certainly are deep. This is the first major rehaul that we've seen since RESPA first went into effect. To the consumer, it means several things. First of all, consumers need to shop early. The new good faith estimate, and it is a new standardized form that's coming into effect January the 1st, The good faith estimate is intended to really disclose to the consumer what costs they can expect as they approach closing. The good faith estimate breaks the costs down into three new categories. One category that cannot change at all. Another category that in its total can only change by 10%. You'll hear the word tolerances as we go through the process and learn how to implement this. And then the third set of costs that are basically consumer-driven that can change because they are consumer-selected. But this is, RESPA changes were about making the good faith estimate firmer and more predictable, more reliable, because it used to be that, you start out with one process and end up with something entirely different. There's also room on the new form now to actually shop among lenders what the anticipated cost will be, and it makes it a little bit easier to compare various costs between lenders when you shop lenders. I think the consumer's obligation here, frankly, it's all for the consumer benefit in terms of disclosure and transparency, but the consumer needs to really do their shopping earlier. You don't go looking for a house and then, as an afterthought, you think about your loan. You need to shop your loan or shop for your loan at the same time, if not before, you really do go out looking and selecting properties.
Mm-hmm. Good counsel, and we're going to talk about a number of things throughout the show about RESPA. And one thing that I've noticed is I've seen the new HUD-1 form that will be used, has to be used. A lot of title companies are using the new HUD-1 form, which is the settlement form. Again, for those who don't understand what a HUD-1 is, when you go and you buy a house and you're sitting down with Steve Riemann or one of his colleagues at the firm, you're given a document. Actually, you're given it a day before by law. It has two or three pages in the current iteration where it details what the seller's costs are, what the buyer's costs are, and that's all reconciled at the settlement table. Now, the new form is actually longer. So I guess for a consumer, they've got to realize that maybe there's some additional things that's for their protection that's in the new form, correct?
Absolutely. In fact, we anticipate that our closings will take an additional 20 to 25 minutes per because there is now a methodology for comparing line by line the costs that were estimated up front and the end costs at the actual closing. Mm-hmm. That will obviously take some time to study and to look at. But the important thing is you as a consumer get to compare those costs so that you are able to see where the tolerances were, any changes that occurred, be able to really understand if there were any changes, etc. And it makes the whole product much more reliable for a consumer.
Mm-hmm. I tell you what, we're going to continue our conversation about RESPA, but Gino Thompson, my producer, we've reached that point in the show when it's time for our legal topic of the week, brought to us by the Reuben Katz Law Firm. Today's topic clarifies the requirements of the Real Property Transfer Declaration Affidavit and is offered to us by attorney Melanie McGilvery. Now, all residential real estate transactions now require that a Real Property Transfer Declaration Affidavit, and I'm not going to keep saying that over and over again, must be filed with the county assessor in the county where the property is located. This affidavit is a document that pops up at closing and leaves the buyer or seller asking, "What is this? And what does it mean?" A situation that my guest, Steve Riemann with Fidelity National Title, has probably experienced on a number of occasions. Effective January 1, 2004, the Purchase Price Disclosure Act required filing an affidavit within 30 days that a county clerk receives a deed, real estate contract, or memorandum of a real estate contract. Failure to do so can result in a fine not to exceed $1,000. But failure to file such a form can also result in conviction for a criminal misdemeanor, believe it or not. And, of course, no one wants that to occur. In the affidavit, disclosure of the purchase price for real estate and any personal property is required, along with the legal description of the property. Once filed, these forms are not available to the public and are required to be kept confidential by the county assessor. The purpose of the affidavit is pretty straightforward. It's to provide the county assessor with an accurate information flow regarding the purchase price paid for real estate in the county. After filing the affidavit, a purchaser should expect that the assessed valuation of their property may go up or down. It's important to note that an affidavit is not required in 17 specific real estate transactions. You'll be delighted to know I'm not going to go through all the 17 today. And since time doesn't allow me to do that, Attorney Melanie McGilvery has indicated that she's more than happy to provide information to anyone who contacts her office through our website, and I'll give you that information in a minute. Lastly, remember that a purchaser is always required to make payment of any real property taxes, regardless of whether or not they receive a bill. To help guarantee that a bill is indeed received, a buyer should always contact the county assessor after purchasing property and provide an address for mailing the property tax bill. However, even if a bill is not received, the buyer is still responsible for timely payment of all taxes. I want to thank Attorney Melanie McGilvery for providing us with an excellent legal topic of the week. If you have your own legal questions regarding the property transfer affidavit or those 17 exceptions, then please go to our website, www.santafe realtypartners.com. Click on the radio show icon and then go right to the Reuben Katz Law Firm logo. A lot of good stuff there, and you are familiar with that, of course, Steve, aren't you?
We certainly are, and I want to encourage consumers. You know, typically we give out our free confidential website of Santa Fe at FNF.com.
Yes, sir.
That's FNF as in Fidelity National Financial. I want to encourage consumers. They are welcome to contact us to check on taxes. Now is the most difficult time of the year for real property tax, not only transactions that have occurred in the past 60, 90 days, the assessor may or the treasurer may not have sent the tax bill to the right party or to the right address, or people are concerned that they had a closing and escrowed for taxes, but they're not sure if their mortgage company is paying their taxes or not. We're welcome to do, appreciative to do the investigations for folks and give them assurance that their tax has been paid, because when you get to February and March and April and penalties start hitting, et cetera, people are quite often frustrated. So we want to help them be confident that their tax has been paid.
Yes, the assessor doesn't have any sense of humor about that issue. So, indeed, take this advice from Steve Riemann. That's Santa Fe at FNF.com. Contact them, and they'll be able to help you out on that. Gino Thompson, let's take a quick break here on All Things Real Estate. We'll be back in a minute. Welcome back to All Things Real Estate. This is Ray Post with Santa Fe Realty Partners. Today we're talking about the amendments to the Real Estate Settlement Procedures Act, otherwise known as RESPA. My guest in the studio today is Steve Riemann, who is the Santa Fe Area Manager for Fidelity National Title. And we framed for you what RESPA is all about. Steve scratched the surface on some of the issues that impact you as a consumer. Let's go a little bit deeper into it, Steve, because there's so much there.
Well, there is. The consumer also needs to know that some of the protections that are in RESPA and that are being enhanced by the new RESPA will, for instance, prohibit kickbacks, so that you know, consumers are really aware of where the money goes. Every dollar in a transaction comes in from a consumer, and so they have the absolute right to know where all those dollars go. So in terms of payments for referrals and those sorts of things, those are going to be fully disclosed on the new good faith estimates and the new HUD-1 settlement form. They'll be enhanced, and we hope enhanced enforcement against the prohibitions for referral fees and those sorts of things. Again, the consumer just needs to know where his dollar is going, and he has the right to ask, and he has the right to, or he or she has the right to, sort of use RESPA as a tool. That is to say to your affiliates, whether it's the lender or the realtor, whoever, you know, I know that RESPA requires disclosure. Are there any referral fees being paid? And the consumer needs to use those to their advantage to make sure there's full disclosure.
And there's, particularly we're seeing this with first-time home buyers, there's a natural tendency. I mean, this is very confusing stuff for us in the trade. I mean, keeping up, as you were talking about during the break, is you guys at the title company have to go through major re-education of all your staff because of the new requirements by the government. Can you imagine what it's like for a consumer out there, particularly a first-time home buyer that arrives at the settlement table or a little bit before and all this stuff is coming at him or her? What are they supposed to do? And on that score, before I let you answer that question, that was rhetorical, by the way, I got an email from someone. Hi, Steve. I just had a settlement on the home I bought, and the title company didn't include the seller's information on the HUD-1 they gave to me. I've always seen this information on previous settlements. The title company says it's okay to give separate HUD-1s with only one person's information. I didn't want to argue with them, and there's what I'm talking about, the reluctance on the part of consumers to question, are they correct? Now, this is not really RESPA-related, but I've seen this on a couple of occasions. Typically, there's a lot of information. Buyer and seller information is shared, but it's permissible, isn't it, to have separate ones?
Oh, absolutely permissible. There is no requirement under RESPA or any other statute that I'm aware of that requires the parties to see the other party's side of the settlement statement. Now, that having been said, the consumer also needs to be provided some assurance, for instance, that homeowner fees have been paid, that real estate commissions
have been
paid.
But you guys do that. You confirm that for them. If you're handing them a form that only has their numbers on it, you're going to be able to say, by the way, the seller has done this on their side of the transaction.
Absolutely right. The only time we really share all the detail is when, in the case of a seller contribution to closing where the seller is paying some of the buyer's fees, then we will disclose to the buyer what those fees are. So, again, so the buyer has the information and the assurance that those fees have been covered, even though they were paid by the other party.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, thank you. That was from Ty Steve, so you know Steve. Oh, Jan. Jan, thank you, Jan, for your email. I hope that answered your question. So nothing untoward in having that form that only had your information on it. And I guess maybe that's a courtesy too. Do some people do that? Do some title companies do that to sort of not share the information just as a courtesy to both sides of the transaction?
Oh, absolutely right. Yeah. I don't believe that a buyer has the right to know the ultimate payoff for the seller,
the
or if there were fees or penalties involved on the seller's side.
Right.
We're talking about a disclosure with discretion, sort of on a need-to-know basis. Obviously, there are things that need to be known, but neither do we want to over-disclose what's confidential and private only to that one party.
Now, we had Andrew Hoffman on the line with us at the start of the show, Steve, and he was talking a little bit about some of the pain and suffering, the good, bad, and the ugly, as he characterized it, that the lending side of the aisle has with the new RESPA requirements. And indeed, I think it's probably the lenders, though you guys have a lot on your side as title company, but the lenders are really sort of, quote, suffering a little bit from this volume of paperwork. So from your standpoint as a title insurance pro, what do you think and how do you think the lenders are really reacting to all this?
Well, it's obviously causing a great deal of frustration, and I don't blame them. The instructions that we received as a title company from HUD instructing us on how to prepare the settlement statement, something that we've been doing for 20-plus years, the new instructions are 280 pages long. And so we were given 280 pages by HUD telling us how to do the job we've been doing for the past 20 years. You can see that it'll take at least the first quarter, I would say,
right,
to where lenders feel comfortable with the new requirements, that they're in compliance, that they've learned how to manage their internal processes, et cetera. It really is quite a burden for them. A number of mortgage brokers are now forming new companies and affiliating themselves just to cover the regulatory portion of their business because it is going to be so comprehensive. You can see lender costs going up in dealing with these. Fortunately, we have a great deal of training and a great deal new to learn, but I don't think the administrative burden on the title industry is such that we'll need to add staff as I expect some lenders will absolutely need to do.
Mm-hmm. I tell you what, we're going to continue our conversation about RESPA, but right now I have a very special guest on the phone with me. I have Stephen Etrie, who is joining me from his famous gallery, Stephen's, a consignment gallery. Good afternoon, Stephen. How are you?
Hey, Ray. How you doing?
I know you're up to your eyeballs because this is your annual fall sale, which started yesterday, Saturday, and you're actually on the floor of the gallery, so I don't want to take too much of your time, but I wanted to share with the listeners all of the fabulous things that you're doing there at the gallery today. So give us a few minutes about what you want to talk about.
Well, Ray, what we're up to this weekend is this is our annual fall sale. We run two sales a year, spring and fall, and this is our 23rd fall sale.
Mm-hmm.
And we mark down items for when we were younger and more energetic. We actually went on the floor and marked down every single item in the building, which represents anywhere from 4,500 to 6,000 items. We're trying to be a little bit more smart in our business dealings, and now we have a blanket discount of 30% off of the retail price. And many of the items have been discounted already from their first price. As you probably know, and our listeners who know Stevens, we have a price, a retail price for the first 30 days, and then a lower price after 30 days.
Mm-hmm.
So anything that's been on the sale, on the floor, that's on sale now, could theoretically be almost 50% off.
Wow.
We do have items that we've had that we really want to find homes for that we've marked down 40 to 50%. And one of the things I wanted to tell you is that yesterday, on Saturday, we were open from 9 to 6, and we were pleasantly surprised that we had a very good day here at Stevens. We had a consistent crowd through the doors all day long, and it appeared that, you know, 90% of the people who came in walked out with something. So we were quite happy. You know, I think it might be a sign that things are turning a bit. I think that people are feeling a little bit more confidence, and I think it's showing.
Well, that's great. And coming from you, again, you've been in the business for 26 years. For those two or three people in all of Santa Fe that aren't familiar with Stevens, the Consignment Gallery, I just want to remind you that, and by the way, my guest here in the studio today, Steve Riemann, said he drove by your facility and saw a whole bunch of stuff out in your parking lot. So we know you've got products there, and it's antiques and furniture and art and estate items and all sorts of accessories. And besides that, for our trade, the real estate trade, you offer fabulous appraisal services and staging services, which we've talked about before. But today and yesterday and today are your days to really move a lot of product, and so you've been happy with it, I guess, is the bottom line, right?
Yeah, we have. I've been very pleased with it. And like I said, it seems that there is an uptick in the confidence of the consumer just
mm-hmm.
based upon how well things went yesterday. And I certainly don't want the listener to feel that, you know, all the best things or the best bargains have been taken, because the fact is that we've lowered price further here on Sunday,
right.
Going through the final hours of our sale, going up to 6 o'clock. So we're open now until 6 o'clock this evening. And then tomorrow, Monday, prices go back to the retail prices.
So message is, today is the day to go to get these fabulous discounts on terrific items. And, again, the address of Stevens, a consignment gallery, is 2701 Cerrillos Road. I know you're probably having lots of people tug on you, Stephen, so I appreciate you talking to us for a few minutes. Steve Riemann with Fidelity National Title sends his best regards to you. Good luck this afternoon, and sell a lot of stuff, and we'll see you soon.
Great. Thanks a lot, Ray.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Gino Thompson, I tell you what, let's take a little break here early because I want to add some additional time for Professor Riemann in the last couple of segments of the show, so please stay tuned. We'll be back in a minute here on All Things Real Estate. Welcome back to All Things Real Estate, and by the sound of that music, you know that we are up to our Open House of the Week segment, brought to you by Los Alamos National Bank. Today I have my colleague, my friend, and someone who is sitting on an open house, and I think she's already there. I have Nancy Haberkos waiting for a little conversation. Good afternoon, Nancy. How are you?
Hi, Ray. I'm actually not at the open house.
You're not? Oh, okay.
I'll be there, though.
You will be there. That's right. You're going to be doing it from, 1:30 to 4, right?
That's right.
Well,
it is 1:30 to 4, and I appreciate you having me on your program today.
Well, listen, we are delighted to have you. You know the drill here. You've got 2 minutes to sell Steve Riemann, Gino Thompson, Ray Post, but most importantly, the listeners, on all the values of 1450 Avenida de las Americas. So go ahead, Nancy. You've got the floor.
Thank you. It is at 1450 Avenida de las Americas. This one-bedroom, one-bath condo is priced incredibly at $155,000, and its location is convenient to everything. This neighborhood's just off Cerrillos Road, south of Richards Road. If you make a left turn on Avenida de las Americas, start down the block, and you can watch for the open house signs there. Besides the downstairs bedroom, though, this unit has a loft space that can nicely accommodate guests. It can serve as a home office, a workout or media room, or an artist studio. It's a really attractive little space there, and one very nice feature of this unit, besides the great price, is the meticulous attention to maintenance.
Uh-huh.
Recent upgrades include synthetic stucco on the north and west exterior walls, a new front entry door, and lovely travertine tiling in the bathroom.
Uh-huh. Sounds great.
Yeah, this condo has a wood-burning Kiva fireplace, and that adds a real traditional feel to the living room. Plus, it has a mature flowering landscape of butterfly bushes, lilacs, and roses in the fenced-enclosed courtyard's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
These plants, though, along with mature trees, create quite an oasis there in Las Americas. You know, those condos were built in the 80s, and there's an abundance of mature trees in that neighborhood, which is really a lovely feature, too.
Mm-hmm.
Another great benefit of Las Americas is that they have incredibly low HOA fees. At $100 a quarter, there are few, if any, more affordable, really.
Wow. That is an amazing price. And actually, the price point that you're dealing with here at $155,000 for all the amenities that you're talking about, Nancy, this is a great property for those first-time home buyers that might want to be able to take advantage of the $8,000 federal tax credit before it expires on November 30th, but they've got to go to settlement. They have to see Steve Raymond by the 1st of December in order to buy this property and take advantage of that tax credit. So we encourage them to go out there. Nancy, you'll be there from 1:30 to 4 today, correct?
That's right.
And again, this is 1450 Avenida de las Americas. Nancy Haverkos will be there. She'll greet you, and I think you ought to go out and take a look at this if you're out driving around. Nancy, thanks a lot for chatting with us today. You have a great afternoon, and good luck this afternoon.
Thank you, Ray.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Back to Steve Rieman, my guest today on All Things Real Estate. We've been talking about the amendments to RESPA. And, Steve, I think maybe we want to talk again a little bit about timing, because it's all about timing. You talked about it before, that people should be out there shopping for their lender because of the new RESPA requirements. What about it from a settlement standpoint?
Absolutely. Moving timing up is paramount to affect a good, clean, safe transaction now. In the same way that you want to shop for your loan early, we want to start pushing the professionals, and this is about consumer empowerment. Consumers need to start pushing the professionals to settle early as well. Get the documents signed 3-4 days before the technical closing, the technical transfer of the property. We have certainly done it in other jurisdictions. I don't think that New Mexico has been particularly superlative in this particular area, but there's really no reason why the consumer can't sign their documents 3-5 days before the actual settlement, so that there are no surprises and no unnecessary pressures to close with questions or items still being left out and unsolved. Because the consumer will be able to compare the GFE, the good faith estimate from the lender, with the actual settlement closing documents, what we call the HUD-1, there may arise questions of too much tolerance or change in certain fees, and how will we solve those if we're always waiting to the last day under contract to settle the transaction?
Sure.
So anything that we can all do, and I think, frankly, the consumer is going to have to play a big part in it. The consumer is going to have to demand the best.
Right.
And the consumer is going to have to say, hey, title company, hey, lender, I want to settle this deal 4 days before the actual closing,
mm-hmm.
so that I have plenty of time to consider my documents, consider my fees, answer my questions, and that I'm not under pressure because, as I say, we typically close the transaction on the last day of contract, and that's an unnecessary pressure for the consumer.
Well, and you're telegraphing a punch on this, Steve, by actually inviting consumers to put you guys under the, you know, put you on the hot seat to make sure that you're doing this. But as you said, your title company, Fidelity National Title, is rising to the occasion, representing that it's just good common sense and good business sense to do this, to get it done earlier so you don't have this frantic 11th hour situation.
Absolutely right. And I think the consumer, again, is going to have to push us all, and they're the key here to make this happen.
I just got another email, Steve. Hi, Ray. My wife and I are first-time home buyers, and we settle on a condo later this month. Hooray for them. Can your guest, Mr. Rieman, please tell me what all the settlement services are we should be looking for from our title company?
The title company has...
Ben is, by the way, Ben is the person who asked the question.
Well, thanks for the question. Appreciate it a lot. The title company is sort of the company that puts all the puzzle pieces together. In this case, there's a condominium, so there's not a full survey. We do a survey inspection of the property, etc. But in terms of coordinating the lender services, the inspection, all the realtor communiques and requirements, the Federal Real Property Tax Act, FERP disclosures, we're the ones that put the puzzle together at the end, which is why I said, you know, we'd all appreciate a little bit more time to do that.
Sure.
The RESPA requires that the consumer has the right to review the settlement statement a day in advance. Unfortunately, RESPA is poorly worded to allow some variance to that, but consumers need to call the title company and say, you know, how are the pieces coming together? Are we scheduled to close on time? Can I see my settlement statement a day or even two in advance so that I'm prepared for it? Can I see my documents? If, in this case, the caller is a first-time home buyer, there's no reason why you can't ask your lender and title company to give you an entire closing package a couple of days before closing. I've done it in other markets to where you get to sit down and read your closing package over a glass of champagne or a glass of wine rather than at 4:30 on the day that the property goes out of contract.
Right, and particularly for Ben and his wife, who are first-time home buyers, this is an intimidating process, the biggest purchase in their life, and so they obviously need that extra time as opposed to someone who maybe has done three or four different transactions. So, and this is made even more complicated by the fact that RESPA has now been amended, and there's additional pressure on you guys as a title company and Ben's lender. I'm assuming he's getting a loan for this. So more time, and everybody needs to cooperate. By the way, I should just add, as a real estate broker, and Steve Reiman is as well, besides being a title expert, that we at the front end, you know, we handle the transaction, we do the contract and the like, we as brokers can play a role with our clients in helping sort of hand in glove with the settlement companies. I mean, you're looking for brokers to do that, aren't you, Steve?
Absolutely. We like everyone to be an active participant in the process. I would recommend to Ben, by the way, that he ask his closing company for a pre-closing meeting. I love to meet with first-time home buyers and let them know a week or so in advance what to expect, what they're going to need to bring, cashier's checks, you know, picture IDs, those sorts of things, so that they get a chance to meet us in advance and to feel comfortable with the process rather than, you know, being sort of shell-shocked as a first-time home buyer certainly can be. So we always offer a free service of come in a week before, let's go through some of your documents, let's go through with some of the things to expect so that it's not a frightening experience. It ought to be a celebration after
all. It should be.
Find a new home, Ben.
Ben, that is good counsel from Steve Reiman. Steve, we've got 30 seconds for you to do 1, 2, 3 bullet points on what you want to leave with the listeners.
Yeah, consumers need to shop early for loans and compare their costs according to the new GFEs. We need to push up closing so that there are no surprises anymore. And the consumer needs to know that just dropping the word RESPA can sometimes put the fear in the industry.
Yes.
And so if you will ask what your rights are under RESPA, push those rights so that they're met, then the consumer is going to be much more protected, much happier.
I want to thank Steve Reiman of Fidelity National Title for joining me on the show today and bringing some excellent advice. Thank you, Gino Thompson, my producer, and Kate and Jane back at Santa Fe Realty Partners for producing a hit show. And thank you for tuning in today. And please give us a call at 989-8900 if you need some real estate advice. So come down and join me next Sunday at noon at 1260 KTRC at the Convention Center for the free Green Building Expo. Until then, I send you good luck and fortune in all things real estate.